FabLab Podcast, Episode 57, Defining Expectations, continued. Welcome to the Fab Lab, the stone industry's only podcast dedicated exclusively to the business side of your stone shop, where we focus on improving operations inside the business so we can experience more life outside of it. So let's get down to business. Welcome back to the Fab Lab Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Crowley. Once again, here in the Fab Lab studio with my co-host, Wes Rice.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks, Aaron.
This is great. We're going to continue the conversation we started. It's just so interesting. The value of owning a stone shop, at times I don't think it's much of a value. I think it's a tremendous burden to carry. But the value of living this out day to day. In Realityville, we own a stone shop. So the things that we're sharing here on the Fab Lab podcast are things that we are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so it's just so cool that we have this opportunity to continue this discussion because it is playing out in real time in our business. Here in our digital marketing department, out on the shop floor, getting a new Sawyer up to speed, continuing this conversation about how to define expectations is so relevant. It is so necessary for us to discuss this in greater detail because last week we just scratched the surface. You know, we really got to the point where you got to A, understand that you have expectations, and then B, you've got to get those down on paper. You've got to stop long enough to think through the fact that you do have expectations and get them down on paper. And so in that process, we discovered some things that are really important to understand as just methodology kind of unfolds. So we're going to get into the next step of this process of defining expectations. But before we do, a word from our sponsor, FabricatorsFriend.com. Not only does FabricatorsFriend.com provide the best custom stone fabrication gear available in the industry, they provide it direct. You can buy it directly from the manufacturer at FabricatorsFriend.com. They got a fantastic Instagram account. There is so much relevant information. There's so much content available that is made available to the stone industry. You got to check it out. Entertainment, behind-the-scenes stuff, reality. Some of it's even unreality. But you got to check out Fabricator's Friend's Instagram account. There's just value. There's content there. So make sure you visit FabricatorsFriend.com to buy your custom stoneworking gear direct. So now back to our discussion. Back to the topic today. So like last week, we were talking about the fact that our production manager and I are working through this with our Sawyer. And Wes, you and I were talking about how this plays out in the digital marketing department of our company. There is this tendency to have this massive amount of expectations. We realize, man, I had no idea I had this many expectations. And so one of the things we discovered was that if we were to dump all of those expectations, put into definable, measurable standards, what would the result be?
The person would be overwhelmed. Their eyes would glaze over, and it would not be setting them up for success. It'd be a frustration for you and for them.
Yeah, so if we brought somebody in here as your assistant tomorrow and said, okay, I'm going to teach you digital marketing and social media, how practical is that?
You got to give them piece by piece. You cannot give them all at once, even though you want to. You might think, hey, if I give it to them all, they get up to speed faster, and I can get them being productive. It's too much for them to digest at once.
Yeah, you overwhelm somebody, and when you overload a circuit, it collapses. It can't support it, and so your goal isn't achieved. You're actually further from reaching your expectations than you would be if you hadn't set them at all.
Yes,
because the person shuts down and goes, "I can't do it. This is just too much." And so we got to break those expectations down. That's one of the things we discovered talking about this in the digital media department, and it's what we discovered last week talking about this Sawyer position. We realized right away that all of those expectations that were consolidated, you could really break those down into three distinct tasks within that Sawyer position. Number one being, if you're thinking of it linearly, we receive slabs and stage them and label them. And if you haven't been to Fabricator's Friend's YouTube page, there's a great video on how to make your sawing department more efficient by how to label slabs. Just a little side note there. Secondly, there's the cutting. That's the big thing, but then there is the rotting of the undermount sinks. And so really it was three very distinct, very separate tasks that we recognized. These expectations need to be in categories. We can't combine them all into one, quote unquote task. It's just too much. It's too much all at once.
So where do you start? Are they all equal tasks? They're all important to have to get done.
Clearly they're all important and clearly they're all necessary and they all have to be performed by somebody. But if you're bringing somebody new into a role, you got to identify the primary task and then the secondary task. The primary task is where you get the biggest bang for your buck. You get the most productivity in the shortest period of time. And that's how you would identify your primary task. It might be more obvious than that, but that's a way to think through that, to say, where can I gain the most amount of efficiencies, the most amount of impact from transferring my knowledge to this individual so the most amount of outcome is achieved? That's your primary task. The secondary tasks can typically be, in the meantime, performed by somebody else because they're smaller, not less important, but maybe just not as large. And then as that individual gains competency, most importantly, begins to meet your expectations as you have defined them in measurable standards, being timing and tolerances, once they're meeting your expectations, they're getting comfortable with it, they're getting predictable in terms of their performance, then you can begin to add those secondary tasks to their list of, you know, job duties. So that's the first thing. You got to identify the different tasks within those expectations and then identify your primary task and your secondary task. From there, tip number two, as this, we're defining expectations, you got to understand the difference between technical tasks and intuitive tasks. This is going to get a little bit out there, right? That, but stick with us because this is really, really important. Wes, describe some differences between what you do intuitively on social media and digitally and some of the technical tasks that are performed within that space and within that job task.
Yeah, so technically, you edit a photo a certain way. I can tell you how to do it, and then you can post it. The intuitive part is the creative process. The creative part, where how are you going to craft that angle? How are you going to edit it so it comes alive and really stands out? You only know how to do that by putting the time in, and you can't rush that time of telling someone just walking in who you just hired, hey, you, be creative. It will come, but it's the intuitive time takes, it just takes time.
Yeah. So if you're thinking, oh, the primary task happens to be one of these more intuitive type tasks, think again, because you're going to have a really hard time getting somebody because they just don't have the time. They don't have the experience. They don't have, it just takes time to develop that. So we were also talking about back in the day, years and years ago, when we used to laminate. Another way of describing the difference between a technical task and an intuitive task, cutting is very technical. Step by step, turn the machine on, line up the laser, hit start, lower the thing, whatever. Mixing a glue color, on the other hand, is not so technical. Now, it sounds technical on its face, but if you got 200 different granites that you're trying to mix colors for, Wes, tell us how that works. Because that was your job at one point.
It was. When I first started doing 2CME, I had to laminate it. So you go to mix a color and not knowing, not having that intuition of what a good color looks like. I mean, my first color, I thought it looked fantastic. I go, this is great. Boss comes over and says, try again. I do it again. I still don't get it. He's like, I'll show you. I see it. I'm like, yeah, that looks a lot better than what I had. And then I tried it again the next day. Learning to laminate is very technical. You can learn that in a short amount of time. The glue color, on the other hand, that's very intuitive to know what glue color looks good with what stone, like a white stone, dark stone, brown stone. To really blend and hide that color takes time.
Yep. And so somebody that is going to help you, they're going to walk up. You're going to like, I've tried this 4 times. Hey, help me. The person that's really good at that, really competent, just intuitively knows they're not thinking, okay, this one is 2 shades of white, 1 drop of red, a half of black, but if you do too much black on this particular batch of cream of Bordeaux, they just do it. It's second nature. It's intuitive. And so we got to be careful not to attempt to train our new reports on an intuitive task. Another way to look at this would be in sales. Technical task in the sales department would be writing a sales presentation. We have a written sales presentation. We got 8 questions that you ask, and we have written responses that you have to memorize and recite. We've got ways of overcoming objectives that are written, scripted. That's one. That's the technical side of it. On the other hand, in a sales presentation, reading the customer's body language, understanding when you said something or when they respond or when they ask you something or the way with which they ask you that, a seasoned salesperson is just going to roll with that. It's intuitive. They've done it enough to know how to handle it. Maybe they've had enough coaching, enough training. But if you start with that part of it, you got to have the fundamentals down first for them to get to the intuitive. So that's the second tip here. We're kind of beating a dead horse. But you've got to start. That primary task has got to be a technical task in this initial stage of defining expectations. If you recall back to episode 55, the transformation, I talked about the three C's of leverage: consciousness, communication, and coaching. And so what this is, the technical side of defining expectations, setting expectations so that somebody performs to our expectations and gets the job done right and, you know, on time the first time, that's really the communication side of it. This intuitive training, that happens during the coaching phase. Once they've got that basic level of competency in these technical tasks, at that point, a good leader, a good manager, a good supervisor, a good trainer knows, once they're comfortable with that and they're not having to think about it, now I can start coaching them through some of this intuition. This is the point at which I can begin to share some of this experience that I've gained over the years. The creativity that you mentioned, that's the intuitive side of things. It will come, but you got to do it in the right order.
If you hire somebody and you don't make that distinction, you're going to assume unconsciously, why aren't they learning these intuitive skills in a short amount of time? You're going to get frustrated with them. They're going to feel frustrated. And ultimately, it's not going to end well.
Yeah, you may end up letting them go. They may end up quitting out of frustration.
If someone comes on board and you tell them, why can't you make a glue color?
Yeah, on day two.
You know, I can do it in my eyes closed.
Yeah.
You know, but if you understand it's an intuitive thing that it will come in time, but you teach them the technical stuff now, and as they learn that technical stuff, that intuitive stuff is working in the background. So by the time they get that technical stuff figured out, that intuitive stuff is...
It's building.
It's getting up to speed.
Yeah. And that really comes back. I know I'm kicking a dead horse. I say this all the time, but that really is the essence, the framework of my book, Less Chaos, More Cash. This idea that we as owners, as supervisors, as managers, we fall into this trap of assuming some things don't need to be explained. And very oftentimes, just like you're saying, I think it's a great point, we have expected somebody to perform an intuitive task. It's just not practical to expect that. It's an unrealistic expectation that somebody could get up to speed on those type of tasks in a short amount of time. And so, yeah, that's the second point. That's a great point, Wes. So, yeah, in conclusion here, we're just wrapping this up. We're working through this methodically in a step-by-step fashion. First, you got to realize that you have expectations. Secondly, you just got to brain dump them. Get them down on paper. And then today, you got to start separating. You got to identify your primary tasks and your secondary tasks so you can start with the big bang, get the most productivity in the shortest amount of time, and then make sure you don't make the mistake of trying to teach somebody an intuitive task before they've gained the competency on the technical side of things. So ladies and gentlemen, I hope that was helpful. This is real time. We're putting this to work in our own business every day. And so I hope that you've learned something today. I hope you will take this back to work in your own shop. So if you'd like, you know, we go into great detail this in Less Chaos, More Cash. You can visit fabricatorsfriend.com, go to the book page. If you buy one of the hardcover books, I will sign it personally addressed to you. And you can go into much greater detail understanding this process of essentially how to delegate effectively. But today, how to continue this conversation about defining our expectations. Number one, you break them into primary and secondary tasks. Number two, you don't confuse the technical with the intuitive, with the creative. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as always, what a gift, what a treat, what an honor to be with you on the Fab Lab podcast as we all strive to develop the business side of our stone shop so that we can get these businesses running, so we can get them humming, so we can make them profitable, and so that we can have more life outside of the business. So make sure you check back next week for the Fab Lab podcast. In the meantime, make sure you visit Fabricators Friend's Instagram page, check out their website. Make sure you share the Fab Lab podcast if you're benefiting from this. Go to iTunes, Google account, write a review, rate the podcast. And until next week,
happy fabricating.